This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas, powered by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9, this is The Breakfast Grill. I'm Keith Kam, and this morning we welcome back Sasha Nordin, CEO of Malaysian Genomics Resource Centre Berhad, a company listed on Bursa Malaysia's ACE market. Welcome back, Sasha, and in person this time.
Hey, Keith, thank you very much. Good morning. It's good to be back on.
Well, as I mentioned, you have been on The Breakfast Grill twice before, but let's first do a bit of a refresher. MGRC is a genomics and biopharmaceutical company. You started with work in genome sequencing and genetic screening services, basically to help us understand who we are and how to be on the lookout for any hereditary concerns. What sort of demand did you see amongst Malaysians that inspired MGRC to start a venture like this?
Absolutely. That's a great opening question. So this takes us back to, before MGRC was started, 2002. This is when the first human genome was published. Mm-hmm. We recognized an opportunity in the form of a problem that the world was going to face. So the human genome was published, and it was one of the earliest big data problems. But no one in the world had really invented software or technologies to be able to analyze this data. So that's why MGRC was formed. MGRC really came out to develop the software and make it available as a service.
Now, you did say the last time you talked to us about MGRC's plans to go into cancer immunotherapy. That's an $8 billion industry. You started looking into this around the time of the COVID-19 pandemic. Where is it today? I can't imagine the challenge.
I think, like many other companies, one of the things that COVID and you know, the large shutdown allowed us to do is really take a breather and think about opportunities that may exist moving forward. And one of the areas we identified was biopharmaceuticals, particularly this thing called CAR T-cell therapy for different types of cancers. So right in the middle of COVID, we identified opportunities to acquire technologies in order for us to be able to do that. Now, the last time I was on BFM was April 2021. And that was right before we moved into our new centralized lab facility in Kota Damansara. So now that's all up and running.
Right.
And it's awesome. We have our genetics there as well. But we also have one of the region's only BSL2 cGMP certified laboratories for cell production. So we're already producing cells for patients.
So this move into cancer immunotherapy is essentially a diversification of MGRC's business. I think you alluded to the fact that you intended to have it generate 25% contribution to your overall revenues. Where are we with that?
Right. So it was a diversification, and it's worked out quite well. Contribution actually ended up being a lot more than 25% of our revenues. Yeah.
So what will happen to your original genetic screening and genome sequencing businesses?
We are still very much a genomics company. One thing that we have noticed is as the economies have started to reopen mm-hmm. this year, the demand for genetics is back and it's strong, not only in Malaysia, but other parts of the world as well, including ASEAN and MENA, the Middle East, North Africa region.
Yeah, we're going to get into that a bit later. Right. But the screening business took a bit of a backseat during COVID-19 because most of your clinicians opted to go towards COVID testing. Has that recovered?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. During COVID, a lot of people may not realize it, but, you know, GP clinics, basically many GP clinics shut down.
How badly were you affected?
Like everyone else in 2020, everything was quiet. And in a way that was good because we were able to use that period to focus on diversification and use that period to build and fit out our new cell laboratory in Kota Damansara.
There was no need to lay off anyone? Retrenchment?
No.
So you kept them all on?
Absolutely. That's something that we've worked very hard to do. We need to be able to retain our talent because a lot of the work we do is in the intellectual capacity of our staff.
Now, immunotherapy is really a highly specialized field. You take a patient's own T cells, which then help in treating that patient's cancer. And to me, that sounds really, really expensive with the R&D required and not to mention the very highly specialized equipment that's needed. What did this cost MGRC from the time you decided to diversify until today?
So we have spent about $4 to $4.5 million in setting up and fitting out the lab and getting all the equipment that's required mm-hmm. in order for us to be able to start production. Now, that is nothing close to the cost of R&D that would have been that was required during the early days of the development of CAR T cell therapy overseas. right?
So you benefited from the IP.
We benefited from the fact that the IP was made available for other companies around the world to use. And as far as we know, Malaysian Genomics is the only company in Malaysia or the region doing this.
From your financials as of 2021, there is still no contribution from this cancer immunotherapy venture. I was just wondering, when do you expect to see contributions coming in?
Actually, if we look at our quarterly results over the past three quarters, we can see the contributions already coming in from producing CAR T cells for patients, not only in Malaysia, but overseas.
You also mentioned that the cost of this kind of therapy is northwards of $400,000, and your intention is to bring down the cost to people to about a tenth of that. How did you plan to do it without compromising on the outcome? Were you successful?
So we've already done that.
Right.
That, you know, the premise for Malaysian Genomics, MGRC, to get into, to diversify into immunotherapy was the belief that we would be able to do it at a fraction of the cost of that therapy being available to patients in the US or Europe.
Have there been any success stories that came out of it?
Absolutely. The first couple of patients we received, I believe, were from India, and their treatment has worked for them and is still working for them. So it's a single dose treatment. And after that, the body is able to take over and continue healing itself.
A fraction of $400,000 is still about $30,000, $40,000. It's still expensive and it's meant for people with deep pockets. I was just wondering if there are any plans to rope in Malaysia's health ministry into what you guys are doing.
Absolutely. There's an ongoing discussion that started some months ago with the National Institutes of Health. The Ministry of Health informed us that they've been very interested in CAR T cell therapy for many years, but have noted that the facility wasn't available in Malaysia. So now that it is available, they are exploring with us how to bring it into public health.
How will this be monetized for MGRC?
Well, there's still a production cost, right? So that production cost needs to be paid for. You know, it is a lot of money, but something we need to understand is everything's relative, and cancer is not a cheap disease to deal with.
Not at all.
That's the reality, not of MGRC, that's the reality of what the world faces, right? So the other cost is the fact that for some people, conventional treatments don't work.
Okay.
Right? So they need options.
As in chemotherapy and radiotherapy don't work,
exactly.
So they come to you.
Exactly.
Right? And how successful has that been?
So for certain cancers, such as certain hematological cancers like leukemia, patients that were treated early on, I believe in Europe, are in remission today after several years, yeah? So in leukemia, I believe the remission rate is about 80%, yeah? Now, the holy grail is to be able to get equivalent performance in solid cancers like prostate, breast, liver, gastric, and so forth. And that's where a lot of the R&D is continuing today.
But this is not like available directly from MGRC?
No. So we don't interface with patients, no. Our customers are hospitals. So if there's a patient in a hospital and the treating oncologist for that patient determines that that patient is a valuable candidate for CAR T cell therapy, then they will engage with that patient to present the options. And then if the patient's keen to get more information, the doctor will get in touch with MGRC.
But why not go through a B2C model for a treatment like this?
Because it requires an oncologist to actually do the treatment. So MGRC is a production facility. Right? It's very similar to our genetics, right? We receive samples from doctors around the region. We process and we send back results. So with cell therapies, what we do is we receive cells from patients, we engineer the cells, so we grow them, and then we send the cells back to the doctor for infusion into the patient.
I'm kind of suggesting that perhaps MGRC in the future could have its own oncologist on board.
One of the things in terms of our rollout plan is to continue to be able to diversify our business interests. So there are four areas or four verticals that we're looking at. There's everything that we're doing today, which is genetics and biopharmaceuticals. Yeah. There's also healthcare services. Yeah. So we're wanting to be able to move into that space because you're right, it is specialized. Yeah. The next thing is big data and AI, because we've been dealing with big data in the form of genetic data since 2003, 2004.
And yeah, I know genome sequencing, genetic screening, that's basically your core business still, am I right?
I'd have to say today,
yeah.
MGRC really has two halves, and one half is genetics and genomics, and the other half is this beautiful biopharmaceutical business that we have.
Because you did mention mentioned earlier that services for genetic screening seem to have taken a step back because of the COVID-19 pandemic. I was just wondering, by way of revenue contribution, where is it now?
Well, it's now, you know, in comparison to what we've been generating from the biopharmaceutical side of business, not only CAR T cell therapy, but other cell therapy products as well. In relation to that, it's quite small. Right, just because the biopharmaceutical side has become so big, right? But one of the things we're looking at, we've started doing, is opening up a business to consumer channel purely for the genetics. Yeah, and that's something I have to admit is long overdue.
On The Breakfast Grill this morning is Sasha Nordin, CEO of Malaysian Genomics Resource Center Berhad. In a little while, we'll find out more about what its plans are in Saudi Arabia. BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
Welcome back to The Breakfast Grill on BFM 89.9, where we are in the middle of our chat with Sasha Nordin, CEO of the ACE market listed Malaysian Genomics Resource Centre, Berhad. Now, Sasha, you once talked about how during MGRC's inception, you guys had always wanted to nurture local talent, and this industry is extremely highly specialised. What were the challenges in achieving that?
You know, we were lucky, and I think we were lucky because we were in Malaysia. There is a lot of talent in Malaysia. So one of the things that we did early on was our strategy was to hire young,
right,
but hire young and capable, bring in foreign CSOs to help transfer knowledge, okay, to our Malaysian staff. And that worked out quite well.
I mean, everyone's talking about the brain drain here. So I was wondering if MGRC faced similar issues.
Not with the brain drain. Mm-hmm. We haven't. But, you know, post-COVID, I think what's been very interesting is to see the reality of this global phenomenon called, you know, the Great Resignation.
Right.
And I think businesses are still learning from that. I think everyone's still trying to understand what happened during COVID, what happened with work from home to kind of make people think they could stay at home and continue their careers.
What's MGRC doing to nurture future talent?
So
is Malaysia's education system conducive to that?
I think so. I think part of the biotechnology master plan, the first one, was to help universities build the infrastructure, the academic infrastructure for different facets of biotechnology. And they did that quite well, right?
Right.
That's really what we call a discovery period. Where we are today is with the applied sciences. So we're looking at applied biotechnologies. So now it's not about who's coming out of university and what are they coming out with. Now it's really about, can you provide facilities and intellectual interest to staff to attract them in and work with you? And having one of the only BSL2 cGMP facilities in the region,
That helps
us with that, right?
That's very attractive.
Exactly. At MGRC, our staff get to do things they don't get to do anywhere else. And, yeah.
Let's talk about your expansion. MGRC has plans to expand into Southeast Asia and the Middle East. The most recent news is that the Saudi conglomerate Ajlan Brothers Holding Group is set to invest close to $34 billion in 9 Malaysian companies, of which MGRC is one. MGRC will be distributing biopharmaceutical and genomics products and services with one of Ajlan's units. The MOU has been inked. I was wondering if you could fill us in on the details.
You know, there's about 580 million people that live in the Middle East and North Africa region.
MENA region, yeah.
Right, the MENA region. And Saudi's right in the middle of that. Mm-hmm. And from what we've learned about biotechnology in Saudi and UAE and the other neighbors, it really reminds me of what Malaysia was like when it was launching and rolling out its first biotechnology master plan.
Right.
The government, businesses, and academia are hungry for opportunities in biotech, whether it's agriculture, whether it's clinical genomics, whether it's industrial biotech. So because Malaysian Genomics has been there and done that, we're a perfect candidate to then step foot in Saudi or UAE and help companies in the MENA region to develop their biotech capabilities.
Basically to hit the ground running there.
Exactly.
And how much investment will go into this?
I think that's really going to come down to an agreement on how we roll out,
okay,
with our partners on the ground in the MENA region.
Well, that hasn't been worked out yet.
No, that's being worked out right now.
Right. You guys also see growth in agriculture and aquaculture due to the climate change impact. So, you know, from a human-based operation to one that includes other species, take me through the process.
Right. So let's look at this from a different perspective. Let's look at this from a sustainability perspective, right? Okay. Everyone's talking about sustainability today. So no matter how you want to define it, it basically distills down to people, profit, planets, right?
Right.
Maybe not necessarily in that order. When you're looking at a species, let's say you have a plantation or let's say you have a farm with cattle on it, what you want to be able to do is increase the performance of your crop or your stock,
okay,
right? Now, that has traditionally been done by agronomists or breeders going through a trial and error process, right? They'll choose two plants to cross in the hope that the progeny will have the desired traits and characteristics, yeah? But that takes a long time. And when you make mistakes, you have to start again. What genetics and genomics does is give you the opportunity to read and understand the DNA of the plant or the animal.
All right.
And then determine which two plants or animals have the characteristics that you want, so it's no longer trial and error.
It's just an extension of what you've been doing with humans.
Absolutely.
In a way.
Absolutely. I mean, with humans, we don't use it for breeding, right? With humans, we're using it for preventive care.
Right.
We have the capabilities today to tell you what your genetic strengths and weaknesses are so that you can use that information to make more informed decisions.
This also means that you guys will have to start taking on debt again, because I do remember a breakfast grill that you were on in 2015 where you were very proud of the fact that MGRC has zero debt. You guys had that pat down to 1.6 million ringgit as at June 2022. Are you guys planning on taking more debt as you go along? Because that, I'm sure this investment is going to be quite hefty.
Right. So we're still debt-free.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't needed to take on any debt. And the way our biopharmaceutical side of the business is growing and the opportunities that we have to step into other parts of Southeast Asia and also the MENA region, I think we'll be able to use our profits, reinvest right. our profits into growth.
You are also expanding into Thailand. You hinted about a series of agreements that have been recently inked. You are collaborating with local partners there. What do these look like?
So we should be in a position to announce those shortly.
Okay.
Right. But again, Thailand, like Malaysia, is a country that's super rich in its biodiversity.
Right.
It's also taken a very forward looking, the government of Thailand has taken a very forward looking step and announced a population genomics effort that's going to run over several years. And that is being used as an economic stimulus to drive production and also feed all of that into health, right? And what of that? One of the things that that's done early on is generate a lot of interest in genetics, in cell therapies and so forth. So we're getting a lot of inquiries from Thailand in a very similar way to Ajlan and the Middle East, work with partners on the ground in Thailand to raise their capabilities in Thailand.
See, this thing I was trying to understand, I mean, you are going into immunotherapy, going into the Middle East, you're going to Thailand and a few other places in the region. I was wondering, how are you going to do that without taking on any debt?
Right. So for example, going into the Middle East or going to Thailand, we're not paying for that.
Right.
We're going in with partners that are already on the ground that are going to be able to assist us with generating revenue from our existing products and services. And the profits that we generate from that can then be used to cement or solidify our presence in those countries.
And speaking of your profits, congratulations. Your first time back in the black in FY 2022. You have a 7 million ringgit net profit. This is the first time since 2017. Revenues at 28 million. That's 16 times more than 2021's figures. Not really surprising there. What was different about this year that seemed to have changed the tide for you guys?
So I think it was a combination of a couple of things. I think with the reopening of the economy, everyone from patients to doctors to businesses were hungry to get started again. Yeah. The other thing for us was when we moved to our new facility in Kota Damansara, where we have the cell lab and the genetics lab, we were then able to help with the distribution of vaccines. So that generated revenue, although the margins were super thin, single digit thin. That then transitioned into our lab being able to be used for cell production, with the initial sets of patients being overseas, right? So that revenue was significant and the margins on that were better than our vaccine margins. So that's been the drivers for where we are today. And we expect that to continue now that our borders are open and patients can travel and whatnot.
Now the pressure is on you to maintain this momentum. How are you going to be doing this?
So we're looking at increasing our existing customer base by expanding our channels. So on the genetic side, we still have our business-to-business channels, but we're also going direct to consumer, not only in Malaysia, but in other locations as well, right? We're also looking at expanding our presence overseas, which is what we've been discussing. We're looking to acquire new assets to give us access to new market segments. And these need not necessarily be expensive or require a lot of investment. There are a lot of good technologies in Malaysia that just haven't been marketed very well.
These are local assets that you are looking to acquire?
Yes.
How many have you identified?
We've identified about three, and we're in the process of evaluating really how to take them to market.
I want to address your share price. It's around 67, 70 cents currently. That's more than 30% lower year to date. And you guys are just spitting distance from being a penny stock again. For context, your IPO price was 1 ringgit and 8 cents, and at its highest was more than double that. I'm just trying to wrap my head around why there seems to be so little faith and interest in a business that is so niche that you hardly have any competition.
You know, I wish I could predict the movements of share prices in general. I'm not a wizard and I can't, so I can't speak for share price movements. But you know, you've hit on something very important. And MGRC is one of the few companies I can think of, if not the only company in this part of the world, that gives investors an opportunity to invest in healthcare that isn't about hospital beds or hospital real estate, yeah, or gloves.
It's the future.
Right? It is future-proof because it's present already. The demand for these products and services are strong, right? So where we are now going, moving forward, is to take what we have and make it available overseas, because in many other parts of the world, it's not available.
You guys are also not into paying dividends except for that 22 cent dividend following the disposal of Clinipath. I mean, how do you attract investors to come in? I mean, what sort of returns are they going to be expecting?
Right. So I think one of the things we really need to be able to do is get ourselves into a position, and a lot of this may be to do with communication. We need to get ourselves into a position where we are attractive to funds. And we are attractive to foreign funds as well, because they may have a closer understanding of what the biopharmaceutical market is like, what the immunotherapy market is like, because these markets have started in the US and Europe. They started in the US and Europe, you know, a decade ago.
And the volatility of your share price, I mean, it sparked quite a number of unusual market activity notices from Bursa. How do you convince investors who are looking for stability that this is the company to invest in?
You know, I think what we want is investors that understand our market and investors that can see the long-term game for us to build a specialized healthcare conglomerate, the likes of which no one has seen in this part of the world, and we're on track to do that.
We have been talking to Sasha Nordin, CEO of Bursa Malaysia listed Malaysian Genomics Resource Centre Berhad. This has been The Breakfast Grill. I'm Keith Kam for BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, where unlimited potential begins.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, The Business Station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.